We are up to today, Daf Lamed Dalid Amid Aleph. We are up to the Mishnah. And we're talking about people who are adding parts to davening that are inappropriate. So in the parentheses it says, that the good people will bless you. That's considered apocursus because everybody has to bless Hashem. Nevertheless, most people don't edit it out of the Mishnah. If a chazan goes davening for the amid, and he made a mistake, and let's say he made a mistake and missed out a bracha, or he missed out a few words, you should go ahead and appoint another chazan to take over. Next time he can come back, but at least this time we don't want to wait around.
Where does he make a mistake?
In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Whenever it says tefillah, it means Shemoneh Esrei. In fact, before we had Tosfos, they added, later on, they added Ashrei and all of these mizmorim because you want, the shvach before the praise before the davening. But that was all added later on. And at that moment, if they ask you, you want to go to the Amid, take over, don't hesitate. Go ahead and, or don't say no. Go ahead and take over because it's not covered for the davening, not to have it. Meheichon hu maschil. So the one who takes over, where does he begin from? Mitchilas habrocha shetoze. So the beginning of the brocha that this person made a mistake. We'll see the Gemara later in argument, Rav Huna and others, how to learn that pshat. There's no siddur. So he's saying, he's stumbling. He doesn't know. He's nervous. He forgot. If a guy goes to the Amid, if you're the chazan, you shouldn't answer Amen after the koinim, because you might get mixed up and you won't know where to go back. If you're the chazan and you answer Amen, you shouldn't answer Amen because you might get all mixed up. But v'im ein sham koyin elohu. What happened? You're the only koyin there. Lo yisas kapov. If you're the only koyin there, you shouldn't be duchening. Because again, you're going to get confused. If you know for sure that I can duchen and I still will not lose my place and I'm going to go back to Simshon and all that, so here we have an interesting machlekes and tesis. First of all, Tesis asks a question: what's wrong if he says Amen? He says the chazan shouldn't say Amen. What's wrong? It's not a hefsek, because this Amen has to do with this Shemoneh Esrei. It's part of the davening. So Tesis says, because it's not a hefsek, the problem is you might get confused. The Taz understood that might get confused is talking about Amen between Yivarecho and Yoyer, and those psukim. But to say Amen after Amo Yisro Ba'ava, the Taz says maybe you're allowed to say Amen. But then he concludes, and the Magen concludes as well, even though others say you're allowed to, that the Chazan shouldn't say Amen there as well. It's inappropriate. But then Tesis has a whole thing there. The Gemara says that the Chazan is the one who leads Birchas Koinim. Tosfos, the Machlekes, when the Gemara says Chazan, who's a Chazan? Rabbeinu Tam learns a Chazan is not the Shliach Tzibur. A Shliach Tzibur is a Shliach Tzibur. Chazan is the Shamash. And when it comes to Birchas Koinim, the Shliach Tzibur should not be the one doing Birchas Koinim. It should be the Chazan who does Birchas Koinim. And so on. And others learn, no, the Chazan, that the Shliach Tzibur and the Chazan are one and the same. And not like Rabbeinu Tam, but the Chazan is the one who leads the Koinim. According to the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, the first word Yivarechacha the Chazan doesn't say. That the Koinim start Yivarecha and then the Chazan leads them afterwards. According to Alman and Ashkenaz, we start from Yivarecha and we lead the whole way. And whether the Chazan should say Koyanim is a Machlekes as well. Is that considered a Hefsek or not? But Tosfos brings an opinion at the end that now that we say in our davening, L'keinu v'kei v'seinu, before we do Birchas Koinim, we don't go straight to Birchas Koinim. We have this introduction, L'keinu v'kei v'seinu. Then everyone should hold that the chazan is allowed to lead. And today the Magen Avraham says we have a siddur, so therefore the chazan can lead because he doesn't get confused because he has a siddur that he can always go back to. If the chazan is a koyin and there's the other koyin, he shouldn't go duchen. There's no other koyin except him. So it says that someone else should daven the whole musaf with him quietly, stand with him, and then when it comes to Birchas Koinim, the other guy takes over, and he does the job of a Koin, and the other guy, Machlekes, the other guy finishes Sim Sholem, or the Chazan goes back to Sim Sholem. Okay, Gemara. Tanah Rabbah learned ha'oyva lifnei ha'teva. Generally, if somebody asks you, you want to daven for the omid, nobody should have a taiva for the bretel. Or even if a taiva for the bretel, keep it to yourself. Sarich l'sarev. We're up to the Gemara Lamedal Lamedalef. If somebody asks you to daven for the omid, initially you should refuse. You should hesitate to show that you're not too eager to daven for the omid. The im einoi misariv, and if you're not a misariv, that means you're so eager to daven as soon as they look at you. You're ready at standing at amid. Doime, it's comparable, the tafshil, to a cooked food, she'ein by melech. There's no salt, tasteless, no preparation. But the im misariv, but if you refuse, yoisimedai, they ask you and persist over and over again because you have a nice voice, you daven nicely and you don't want to, maybe because you want them to ask you even more. Then we say, doime le tafshil is comparable to a cooked item, sheikdichle melech, that you overcooked, you overput too much salt on it, and therefore it's useless already. Keitzad hu oisa, what's the correct protocol? Pam rishoina yisariv, if you're asked to daven for the amid, you should hesitate. Shniyah, they ask you again, mahavev, you start preparing to go. Shlishi, they ask you a third time. I'm not exactly sure why they're asking a third time if you're already preparing to go the second time. But if you're asking a third time, then poisha the zanagla v'yoyda. Stretch your legs out and go over to the amen. What, running first time?
They want to daven for the amen. They want to daven 10 times. They like to be
asked. Okay. Another place you have the problem just the opposite. They're all jumping. As if, they all want the amid. The yoyded. Now, it says the word of the yoyded. Mm-hmm. You go to the amid, you got to go down. So here we see from here that the amid, if you're on the shuls, you see it's always sloping downwards. Yeah, old shuls, you go down because the amid where the chazan davens from is always on the bottom. Because it says the yoyded.
And there's always talks about yoded lifnei.
Exactly, right here. But the modern zach is the migdal oiz on the Rambam. And he says that everyone knows, he says, that the chazan is supposed to be in the highest point in the shul, and the amud should be raised so that the chazan can be in the highest point in the shul, which everybody wonders, where does he get it from? Tana Bami learned, Shloisha is talking about three things, that ruban, kosher, if you have too much of it, it's terrible. Aba mutin, a little bit of yafa is good. Ve'eluhen, this is where they are. Sa'oir, yeast, umelach, salt, a little bit of yeast is good, too much is no good. A little bit of salt is great, too much is no good. And sarbonus, to hesitate or refuse, because you're humble is nice. But if you do too often, in fact, that itself is attracts attention, so you're like a bad guy. Amar Rav Huna said, Tor b'sholosh rishonos, so the machlek is now Rav Huna. And Rav Asi, Tor b'sholosh rishonos, you made a mistake in the first three brachos, shemnesere choyze l'reish. You go back to the beginning. And in fact, it's machlek rishonos, doesn't mean you go back to the beginning of the bracha, you go back to the beginning of shemnesere. If you made a mistake in the middle 12 brachas, regardless of where the mistake is, you always go back to atachoinen. But acharoinus, the last three brachas, and choizel avoida, the last three brachas, like I said, one bracha, the first three brachas, like I said, one bracha, and the middle 12, 12, I consider one bracha.
The last three is
starting from Moidim. From Sechazenim. But Rabasi Omar Emtsoyis Ain Lehem Seder. Rabasi says the middle ones have no order. Machlek is Rashi and other Rishonim, exactly what that means. According to Rashi, what it means is, let's say, you're middle of Shema Kaleinu, the Chazan, and remember, he forgot the Bracha Refeinu. So Rashi learns that according to Rabasi, right there and then, say the Bracha Refeinu, and then continue Shema Kaleinu. That's what Rashi. Yeah, even though Ain Lehem Seder, there's no order. No order at all. The Gemara said before, Shimon HaPakuli made a Seder. So he said, not that they made a Seder, you have to say in a certain brachas. Before then, there was no brachas at all. Or you didn't even say all 12. He said whatever bracha you needed. He said, you have to say all 12. But there's no particular order. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim all learn, no. It means is that, let's say you're middle Shema Kaleinu and you remember you forgot Refeinu. Then you don't have to go back to Atachoinen. You just go back to Refeinu, but from Refeinu, then continue in order. From Refeinu again. Aimless Seder just means you don't have to go back. It's not one bracha, it's 12 disparate brachas. So you just go back to where you made a mistake, and then from there you have to follow an order. Because Shimon HaPakuli made an order. It has to be a certain order. Moshe Rav Sheish is Mehei. Okay, the question says, Mehei Nuchoizer. It says, where do you go back from? Medchilis HaBracha. It says clearly in our Mishnah, if a chazan replaces the chazan who stumbled, he goes back to the beginning of bracha shetoz that this person made. So what? It's a kasha of hunder. Hunder said you go back to the choinen. Here it seems you go back to whatever bracha it was. It says go back to the beginning of the bracha. Made a mistake. He meant the beginning of the bracha. But you know what the beginning of the bracha is? It's not 12 disparate brachas. It's one bracha called tzarchid. These are bakasha tzarchav that you have to ask your own personal needs. It's one long bracha, 12 details, but it's one bracha. So if you go back to the beginning, a person should not ask for his needs, not in the first three brachas, and the loy b'shalosh achrei, nor the last three brachas, only in the middle ones. So this caused a problem. How can you say zochreinu l'chayim uchsoiv l'chayim tevim in the first three brachas when you're asking for needs? As a result of that, some of the shayim hold you're not supposed to say it. You don't say it. In fact, many don't repeat it. You know, the Chazan says, for example, even though you repeat by Ksoiv of a Sefer, you don't repeat the first two, because you're not allowed to do Tzrochim, others for Enfer. How do we do it is because Tzorchei Rabim is different than Tzorchei Yochid. Tzorchei Yochid we don't add into the first three brachas, but this is Tzorchei, you're talking about Klal Yisrael. Tzorchei Nu L'chaim. And so on, therefore you're allowed to.
That's why Yom Ra'im, the Chazan says, because the shayla is, how can you interrupt in the middle of Birchas Avos to start with Piyotim? So you have to faren for Misa. It's based on Chachomim and Avoinim. Who's saying it is?
Yalva Yovi is also a problem. We say Yalva Yovi in Birchas Hodah, in Ritzei, not in the first, in middle 12 brachas. And we're asking Yalva Yovi Viagia. So that the answer that Yalva Yovi is the future. All the brachas, the 12 brachas, which is personal needs, is about now. Here and now. I need this, I need Rafa'inu, I need Baruch Aleinu, I need all that, Makaleinu. This is, well, you know, Yala, V'yava, in the future will happen, you know, that we want this thing. So that's not called Makosha Tzrachav. Okay, so you know, right, the first ones are the first three brachas. Why is it inappropriate to ask for personal needs? It's similar to an eved that is organizing praises for his master. That's what the first three are. So there's no place there to ask for personal needs. However, the reason why you're allowed to ask communal needs is because that in itself is a praise. The praise is that Dave should take care of everybody. So therefore, that, you know, falls in the letter of praise. Now, Michamoich is a praise. Achrein l'chaim is l'chayda, more of a request. Emtsoye is doy mele'evet, shemavakas prachar rabbi. The middle brachas are, you know, I'm asking for something from my master. And achrein is doy mele'evet, shekiva prachar rabbi. He received it, v'nifta v'halcha. He's leaving now, so he's saying thank you. Then Rabbi learned. Ma'i said, betalmid echot sheyorne ateva, p'nei Rabbi Lezer. There was a student who went before the Amud. In front of Rabbi Lezer, v'yemadich yosem b'dai, and he elaborated way too much in his davening. Omer le'tamid Rabbeinu, kama arkun is that? Wow, this guy really stretched it out. Gemara says,
complained before about a chazan that he schleps it out.
He actually used to add words and everything else. Amalehem klum madach yoyis Moshe Rabbeinu. Is he adding more words to Moshe Rabbeinu? The chesiv bay es ad boyim hayoyim v'sad boyim alayla. Don't complain. It took Moshe 40 days, 40 nights to finish his davening. Okay, shuv ma'ase b'talmid echos. Another talmid sheyorim yatevim fnei Rabbeinu. Same Rabbeinu says, boyim katzay yoyis v'day. It was a very abbreviated version. Amale talmida kama katzay said, wow, this guy was really quick. Budapest Express. Amalei klum mekatzah yosem Moshe Rabbeinu, is the davening any quicker? The chesiv kel no refon olah. That's the whole davening when he wanted to help his sister.
Five words
the whole davening. In other words, the bottom line is as long as you do the chavim libo shemayim, that's the main thing. You're doing it for the right kavanas. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chizda, kol hamavakesh rachim el chaveri. If you want to ask rachim for your friend, let's say in davening, my shmanesra. You don't have to mention the name. Shenemar it says Kel Nodafon Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu said Kel Nodafon Allah. For the Kamat Kishma to me, doesn't mention Miriam's name. So there's a big machlekes over here in the Rishonim and Achreinim. Does it mean you're allowed to mention the name, or you don't have to mention the name? Number one. Number two is Moshe Rabbeinu Miriam was there, so maybe only when the person that you want to daven about is there, you don't have to say the name. But if the person is not there, maybe you should say the name. And those who say you're not allowed to say the name is because it's like you're talking to the Eibishter. The Eibishter knows exactly your kavanas. If you need to tell the Eibishter your name, that means you don't have faith in the Eibishter. If you don't have faith in the Eibishter, what are you asking for help? So it's like the steer in Eibay. Talk about me learned. Eilu brachas, the following brachas, she'odim sheikha behen, the following brachas, a person should bow down. But others, when it comes to the others, tchil of a saif. We start with Shemeneser and then by Morgan Avram. The haidah, when it comes to haidah, by moedim, tchil of a saif. By moedim and kel haidahs. If you want to bend down by every the end of every bracha, over the chilu kol bracha bracha in the beginning of every bracha, melam din oisa, we teach him shalai yishchi, should not bow down. Taisa asks a question, why not? What's wrong if he wants to bow down? Taisa gives two answers. The Taisa's first answer, the way the Taz understood Pshat and Taisa is that if you're going to bow down, then if you're going to be machmir and decide to bow down every bracha, you're going to be machmir every bracha, then after a time, you're going to forget what part is the chumrah and what part that comes with chamim. And then when you're not in the mood, you say, no, it's chumrah and I feel so good. You're not going to do any of the bowings down. And then you're going to miss out on the comes of chamim. In other words, it's a good thing to be machmir, but not in a way where it could actually affect the halacha as well. And the other answer he gives is, it's mechzik yer. If nobody else is doing something and you're prostrating yourself in public, it's mechzikir, which means, yeah, if you're doing it in privacy of your own home is one thing, but in public, if you show, as Shlomo says in Kehelos, al tehit tzadik harbe, don't be too frum and show the whole world off, because that's the biggest gaiva. Okay. Talking about it, Omeshim Pazi, Mishim Kapora, Hedyit, Kemoshim Arnu, an ordinary person, exactly what you just said. Koyin Godl, but a Koyin Godl, besoiv kol bracha bracha. A Koyin Godl should bend down at the end of every bracha. King is even more than that. Now, Rashi says the reason why a king is more than a Kohen Gadol, why a king in the beginning and the end, is because a king, the greater you are, the more you have to subdue yourself. So a king, the greatest, has to subdue himself, that not only the bend down, bowing down is a sign of humility. Not only the end of every bracha, the beginning of every bracha, and the end of every bracha. Others say the reason is because by a king gets judged every single day. Everyone else does not get judged every single day. So therefore a king, in Moresh Hashanah says after Zayinah, so therefore a king has to, because he's getting judged all the time, has to dava, has to bend down before and after, because it says Hashanah, you'll have to bend down as much more. But the truth of the matter, that's hard to understand, because the Moresh Hashanah, where it comes from, says clearly that Adam nidin b'chomer b'yeksi, Adam nidin b'chol yom v'yom. The only difference is the king is the first one to be judged. And everyone else gets judged afterwards. So maybe that's what that's what Hashanah means. Because he's the first one to be judged, he's more, you know, he needs more Yeshua. The nafka minna between these two opinions is actually arguing a very decisive thing. Who's greater, a king or a Kohen Gadol? Rashi clearly learns a king is greater than a Kohen Gadol, because he says that the greater you are, the more you have to bow down. The others say, no, a Kohen Gadol is greater than a king. So why is a king bowed down more than a Kohen Gadol? Because of the judgments that there are against him. And this is based on the Gemara, end of Herius, the Gemara lists over there who's greater, Kohen Gadol, a Navi, a king. Okay, let's get into the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Ledinim, Mefar Shem, Rabbi Shem Levi, I understood Rabbi Shem Levi, Hedyid, Kamo Yishem Anu. Hedyid does ordinary. Like we just said, you know, the beginning in the Shemnes and the end. Kohen Gadol, Tchile, Ko Bracha, Bracha. Kohen Gadol is the beginning of every Bracha. And maybe the end as well, according to some. But Hamelech, a king, Kivan Shekara, he bows down at the beginning of davening. Shuvenu Zaykev, doesn't stand up again. Now it says, Vahikach Leishleim Espalel, Kom Milifnei Hashem. When he finished davening, that's when he stood up. That means the entire davening, he was bowed down. Mechroya Al Birkov, he's bowed down on his knees. So talking about bowing down, the Gemara says, you have different words to describe bowing down, and each word is referring to something else. Talk about what we learned. It says that avit means you put your face on the ground, but not the rest of the body. It says about tikkoy basheva apayim eretz, that basheva bowed down twice to the ground, and so we see that what eretz, that she that her head touched the ground.
So the person standing upright, and then
actually the Gemara Sukkah we had. You know, remember we had the Gemara Sukkah. You put your thumbs on the ground, like you know those pusher Levi did. You know,
Levi broke his back doing it.
And exactly because but he by the thumbs, and you put your head on the ground. That's kiddo. Then we have what's kriya albekayim. You put on you're on your knees, and according to some of the shayim, it means your head is also on the ground, but your knees are on the ground. Shemit says, like we do in the on Yom Kippur. Shemit says, michroya albekov. You're bowing down on your knees. However, yishtachava. What's yishtachava? So pishu yadayim raglayim. That's stretching out all the way. Shemit says, no, you're lying down completely, and your head is on the ground as well. It says a pasuk. When he had a dream, he says, "Havoi novi ani v'imcha." Yaakov said, "Well, I and your mother come, and your brothers lishtachem l'cho arza." So lishtachem means that we're going to completely prostrate ourselves on the ground. I saw Abaye v'Rava the matzla atzluya. I saw Abaye v'Rava that they didn't bechal lie on the ground; that they did, they lied on the side. This is where we learn out the whole concept of nefilas apayim, which is putting down your head, literally by tachlun. You put your head, but we don't do that. We don't go lie down on the ground. We lean on the side. Because we learn from Abaye v'Rava here that that's what they did. on the side. Okay, Tani Chod, in one place we learned Hakoreya b'Hoidareim Shubach. In one place we learned if you kneel by Hoidar, it's a good thing. The Tanya, either another place, Hareizim Guna, it's a bad thing. Like Kasha, Habet Chila b'Saif. Here we're talking about the beginning of Hoidar that you bend down, and here we're talking about the end. What's going on? We just learned before, a minute ago, that you're supposed to bow down the Braise to begin the end. So some of the Shayim learned it's a machlekes, that this Gemara here argues, and then they want to know why the Gemara is bringing it down. Others say there's a difference between Shoycha and Kriya. Kriya here, we're talking about Kriya, which is, we just said, crouching down with your knees in the ground. That we don't do. We just bend down. And we're talking about two different things. Rava Kora Bahaydo Tchila Basayf. He used to crouch in the beginning and the end of Hoidah. I'm the Rabban, I call him Marhochi. Why are you doing this? And the Brai says he shouldn't. Now again, so the Shayim asks, why doesn't he just answer? Because the previous Brai said you should. So obviously it's not the same thing. Amalu Chazil of Nachman Dekara. I saw Rav Nachman do that. Chazin Lerav Sheish Dekovid. Hoch, I saw Rav Nachman Sheish do that. So for me, if my Rabbeim do that, or his great Sadiqim do that, I'm going to replicate it. But Yimara, but Tani, we just learned the Brai Sakurei Boidah Reza Maguna. Again, he could have answered the previous Braisa. So he says, Hahi b'hoidah shebahal. We have the word hoidah by hal. Can you, over there, he's saying it's not a good thing to crouch. He says, Moidim, you don't do that. But Tanya, kare b'hoidah of hoidah shel hal. So, you know, whether you kare by hoidah, which will chayim mish menesra, or by hal, harez maguna. If you decide by noid l'cha to crouch, it's not, that's maguna. So what about other places? So some of the Shainim say, like Nishmas Kol Chai, when you say, Meidim, you're allowed to crouch down. As long as you don't do it every single time, it's not even kvius. And others say that, no, you should never bow down, only in the places we are told. Okay, it says in Mishavaitid, I'm a spalik, you're Amish Manesse, but you made a mistake. Sima Ralo, it's a sign from above, it's something, you know, it's a bad omen. And Nochme, V'im Shliach Tziburu, every Chazan Shalem's Mishnah, if you are about Tfilah, you have the responsibility that you're representing the whole community. And if you mess up, then it not only affects you, you're not a person, that you are the whole kehillah. So that everyone now is affected. It's a sign for them. Because the shliach of a person is just like him. Fascinating. So this is the place where it says in the Mishnah, shlucha shalom kemoisai. Everywhere else is in the Gemara. This is the Mishnah. You would never think that shluch of someone say, "What is that shluch shalom kemoisai?" You never come up in brachas over there, but that's where it is.
Kiddushin is a whole sugi of shluch.
Yeah, exactly. That's what sugi is. Yeah, so shluch shalom kemoisai, and therefore the whole kehillah is represented by him, and that's why Shulnarich over there in Simon Gimel gives all these laws. You have to choose a chazan to be worthy because he's representing the entire tzibur. Omru lav Rav Chini ben Doisa shei mespal alachayim. He's davening on behalf of the sick. But Omru would say zechayv the mates, and then he would predict after he davened, this person is going to live and this person is not going to live. Omru loy minayin atu yidei. How do you know? You're a novi. Omru le mishagura tfilasi b'fi. I have a tradition. If the words of davening flow out of my mouth, yidei ani shem mekubal. I know that my davening is accepted, and that person is going to live. Abavim lav. If I stumble, then yidei ani shem meturuf. This person is not going to make it. Scary stuff. Because he's a tzaddik hadar, you'll soon see. When we say that if he makes a mistake in a bracha, it's a bad sign for the community. Which bracha are we talking about? Ahai, which bracha we do if the chazan makes the stumbles? It's a simra. We're talking about if he makes a mistake in the first three brachas. It's a sign, as if the Abish is saying, I don't want your tefillah. I'm not mekabel your tefillah. And if he's a shliach tzibur, the Abish is saying, I don't want your minions davening.
Is this Rabbi Chiya, the famous Talmud of Rebbe? It's the same one?
No,
ultimately, the quote's coming from Bei Rebbe.
There's Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, which Rav had a son called Chiya. But to say that Chiya would say something in the name of Rebbe is hard to imagine, because Chiya was much older than Rav, and he was like the Rebbe of Rav. Don't know which Chiya is.
Of Rebbe, but Rebbe Leitona Chiyah Minayin.
And that's what you're trying to say.
No, I'm asking you if this is the same Rabbi Chiyah, who's the famous one, the Talmud of Rebbe.
I'm just saying, it's hard to imagine Rabbi Chiyah would say something named Rav, because Rav was Rabbi Chiyah's nephew, and he was a Talmud of Rabbi Chiyah. But there was another. Omar Rabbi Chiyah, Omar Rav, Safra. Omar Safra, Safra, Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Rebbe. You're right.
The quote comes from Bei Rebbe.
Could be. So we don't know. There's also there's another chiyah. I don't know which chiyah it is. Maybe it is.
Sorry.
But maybe then. So the whole thing is by a sign of the Bible. Even though we had before the Gemara, Hein Kel Kabe V'lo Yimus, whenever there's a minyan, Hashem says, I will never turn away from it. Somehow or another, this is a sign. They're saying, I don't want you davening at all. Why did the mother just say that if it's a simra, if he made a bracha, let's say the bracha l'malshinim, which we said before is such an important bracha that if you make a mistake, you depose of the chazan. So why don't we just say that the guy who made a mistake, if the guy made a mistake, it's a simra, if he made a mistake in l'malshinim. Because to say that with the first version here that if you made a mistake in others, your davening is not accepted, is very harsh. As we said before in the Gemara, that whenever there's a minyan, it's a guarantee that the davening always will be accepted. Anyway, you got to be careful. So the din is l'chatchila, you have to have kavanah t'ayish v'neser. And if you don't have kavanah t'ayish, in fact, we learned even more before we said, lo ilum yomad asma, you have to measure yourself, make sure that you can have kavanah. Yesterday we learned, we beat you in the head, make sure that you have kavanah. But if you don't have kavanah, you have to have kavanah at least in the first three brachas. And if not, you have to repeat. And Shulchan Aruch says, but today we don't repeat because the second time around, what guarantee do we have you'll have kavanah? Because, you know, today people don't know how to have kavanah. But there's different kinds of kavanahs. Kavanah is Peter Shamilis, Rav Chaim writes, others write, kavanah is Peter Shamilis, Mishabura, or kavanah means b'chlal davening. So kavanah davening definitely we can have today. So you have to have kavanah davening. Kavanah is Peter Shamilis to know every word. That, you know, you should also, but if you didn't, we're not going to make you repeat. There's all kinds of, kavanah means intention, kavanah means also thinking about focusing on what you're doing. If my lips are healthy in a person, that means they travel well, that they flow well. Shalom is peaceful. Shalom la rochek la kodet. Peaceful, those are far, those are close. Amr Hashem, the Abishah says, and I will heal him. So we see clearly from here that if boyde nisvasayim, then it's all right. Now that we brought this pasuk, call on Neviim Kulam, all the wonderful praises that Neviim give, Leinis Nabu, all the prophecies were about, you know who they were going to give all these rewards to? Lemase Bite L'Talmud Chacham, somebody who goes out of his way to make sure that his son-in-law Talmud Chacham shall have grandchildren who are interested in learning Torah, then he gets all of these accolades and all these brachas. And another person is Ula Oise Pragmatil Talmud Chacham. Somebody that does business, steers business in the way of a Talmud Chacham, so Talmud Chacham should make a good panasa, and so that he can concentrate and learn and give shiurim and so on. And the third one is Ula Mahanda Talmud Chacham Chasid, or the Talmud Chacham doesn't do any business at all, and he sits and learns, and you give him a stipend. The Rambam, interesting, when he quotes it, he misses out this third part because the Rambam Shitase doesn't believe that people should learn and get stipends. They should be working as well.
So the Rambam's brother paid for him.
Yeah, exactly. But afterwards, his brother died. He became a doctor to make an earn a living. But you're right. He was attacked by everybody. But at least the Rambam holds other one. Oise pragmati tam chacham. Steer business in the way of tam chacham. So that's the reward for people who are interested in Talmud Chacham. What about Talmud Chacham itself? No one saw the Eibush except apart from you. That's what it'll do to those who sit and dwell them on Torah. Those who Talmud Chacham themselves, the reward is unbelievable, immeasurable. Nobody knows what's going to happen after Mashiach in the Olam Haba. No one knows what's going to happen. It'll be a whole different world. And this argues the Shmuel. That's the opinion of Yechon. Shmuel says, ein bein olam hazeli meisa Mashiach, ela shibud malchiz bavad. There's no changes really, other than the fact that he will be free. Shneimer says, ki lo yechdol evya mikedav others. Will be poor people around. And Rabbi Yechon Shitase holds that the world will change because he had, in the end of Nidah, he learned that mitzvahs betelus loss of love. It'll be a whole different world. And Rabbi Yana there argues, and like over here, like Shmuel. Others say there are two periods. Shmuel is talking about Yemei Samashiach, which is the first 40 years before Tchiz Mason. But once Tchiz Mason itself is the biggest change. How can you say there's no change? El Hashem Ma'achul Vad, when there'll be Tchiz Mason? What greater miracle is there than that? So Shmuel was talking about the first period, the period of Yemei Samashiach. And then during Yemei Samashiach, those 40 years, as Zohar says, everything's going to be the same except Eden will be free and to do mitzvahs. But after that, there'll be Tchiz Mason. And then, of course, everything will be different and, you know, whatever it'll be. And we had tastes of the humor there that the great tzaddikim and Arab Sachim, that Moshe and Aaron will come back straight away. So obviously, Shmuel can't hold that. Because then again, what do you mean, ain bang? You'll have Moshe and Aaron standing here. What greater thing is there than that? Prophesying regarding Baal Tshuva. Sadiqim Gemurim, Ayin Lo Salakim, Sadiqim Gemurim, Agamot. So know what Sadiqim Gemurim are far greater than Baal Tshuva. Upliga Ravu, Zag Ravu, Dom Ravu, Mokum Shabal Tshuva, Imdin, Sadiqim Gemurim, Enuch, Imdin, Ravu, said with Baal Tshuva standing, Sadiqim Gemurim cannot even, cannot stand, which means that who's greater? Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzadik. And the Rambam adds, Tzadikim Gemurim, Enem Yecholim Lamed. He adds the word Yecholim. Not only they're not there, they can't even. They don't even have the potential. Because the enthusiasm, the vigor that Baal Tshuva has coming from where he came from is, you know, catapults him into a different madrega from a certain angle. Shenemar says, Shalom, Shalom, La Rochik, Vela Kodiv. Where is it closer? La Rochik before Kodiv. So Rochik is someone who's a Baal Tshuva, started out far away from Abishra. And Kodiv is somebody who's a Tzadik. And says in the Pasuk, Rochik first. La Rochik, but Eshav Hadal Kodiv. Rabbi Yechon, who holds that a tzaddik is greater. Amalek, you're reading it wrong. You know what Rachi means? Rachi means far away from Avedis. That's a tzaddik. And Rakata means close to Avedis. That's a Rosh. Who came about Shuvah. So Rachi means Varvedim. He caught it first. My Kodesh, he called it Varvedim. It's Lachik Menom. The famous Rogi Chava's question. So if a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, the Mishnah says in Kedushin, if a man says to a woman, I'm an Asher, I need tzaddik, even if he's a Rosh, it's a Safi Kedushin, because Shema, maybe he did Shuvah. So Dr. Shavuot says, but if he's the tshuva, he's greater than the tzaddik. And we just, in the Mishnah there says that if a person says, I'm poor and turns out to be rich, then I'm a kuddish, because maybe she wants an average guy, doesn't want somebody rich. So if a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, how can she be married to the guy? Maybe she doesn't want a person Baal Tshuva, she only wants tzaddikim. And don't remember what he answers.
The shaylos are good.
It's homework. Okay, no, it's very important. You make conditions, you have to, you know, follow them through. Second, what Hashta my ayin lidos. So what do you mean an ayin never saw? What? Give me an example of an ayin. So you can give some analogies. This is the wine that is protecting the grapes. Just like wine that represents chokhmah. So these are the secrets of the Torah, the wisdom of the Torah that have been secreted away from the beginning of time and will be revealed in Mashiach. This is the Aden that nobody ever saw. You can ask me, what do you mean nobody saw? Where was he? He was in Gan. He never made it to Aden. The Shema Tema, who Gan, who Aden? What's it, Gan or Aden? Same thing. No. Tamalayim is on the Pasuk. Vinar Yaitzim Aden. There's a river that flows out from Aden. Lahashkis is a Gan. To irrigate the garden. So we see that Aden is greater than Gan. Gan Luchud, Aden Luchud. So Rabbi learned Ma'isa, Shecholab, and Gamliel. There's a story. We'll tell you two stories. Rabbi Gamliel, who was a Nasi, his son became sick. Shogash, Nedim Chomis, Rabbi Chanim Medaisa. He sent two rabbis to Rabbi Chanina, Levakish, Olav Rachman, to daven on behalf of his son. So we see from here that watch, if somebody's well, you go to a Rebbe to ask him for a bracha. Kivan Shira, Oysam, as soon as you saw them, Olal Aliyah, he went upstairs before they even came. Ubikish Olav Rachm, he davened, and Bididose Amalem, he told him when he came down, he said to them, Lechui, go back home, Shechilatste Chama. The son, the heat already escaped his son, he's very well. Amr Olav, Vichy Novi Yata, are you a Novi? Amalem, Loy Novi Anoichi, Iva Loy Ben Novi Anoichi, a man of Novi, nor the son of a Novi, Elekach Mekabalni. Im Shagurat philosopher P, if the davening flows, you then issue Mekubal. I know it's accepted. Vim Lav Yedein Ushim Maturiv. Yoshu, they sat there, Vikosu, Vikivnu, Isisho, they had in mind that hour, Vikishboy, Sagamil. They wrote down exactly what time it was. When the Kenyam Lil, Amalem, Avoid, I swear, Lechisartim, Loytartim, you didn't take away, or didn't add, the time is exactly when it happened. Lakacho Yemaise, but Isisho, Achilasachama, that very moment that you have over there, that's when he was cured. Vishol on the mind, Lisha, suddenly he asked for a drink. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, he was the greatest god there. He went to the Torah by him. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's son got sick. He said, Chanina, my son, Bakish Olav Rachmim, do me a favor, daven for my son. So he should live. Hiniach Roisha ben Birkov, so Rabbi Chanina placed his head between his knees, Ubikish Olav Rachmim, and he davened on behalf of the son of Yechonon, the Choya, and lived. Very humbling thing he said. If I would have thrown my head between my knees, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, who was a Nasi Adoid, and I would all day long scream to the Abish and daven on behalf of my son, wouldn't listen to me. I'm not sure, we had the Gemara in the beginning of Brachas that ain chavish matir atzel beis asurim. You cannot daven for yourself. So the reason why Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's tefillah wouldn't be accepted is because he cannot daven for his own son. He needs another person. But Rabbi Yechon Zakeh is being very humble here. So he didn't just, I mean, he could have said that. But instead, he said, I'm not in the same madriga as Chanina. His wife right away got offended. I thought I married the greatest man here. Suddenly, you're not the greatest man anymore. Amalah alav, no. Is Chanina greater than you? He said, no. He's like a servant before the king, and I'm an officer. An officer is greater, but an officer only comes in with an appointment. But a servant is always there, so you can always have a communicate with the king. Talking about Chibur Abba, he said, you shouldn't daven in the house only without windows. And it says, the chaven particularly by Lisa negative Yerushalayim. So the big machlekes is showing you whether the vort is Yerushalayim or the vort is windows. Because the way the pasuk says Yerushalayim, so the Shulchan Aruch says you should daven facing Yerushalayim, and so every time that you're down, you look out the window, you'll think of the Beis Hamikdash. And others say the main vort is the windows, so you have light, and if you ever down or downcast, you look up the windows and give and make brightens up your life. Shulchan Aruch brings down that you should have 12 windows in the shul. Mitam from the Zohar. It doesn't say why. Simple reason, because we have 12 Shvatim and there are 12 different Sha'arim for the Tfilas to go. Sorry?
Didn't we start the Perek with the same member?
Yes. We had an Omer Bezer. Omer Rav Nachana said, Chotzif Olai. I think it's a chutzpah. Man de matzli bebiksa. Somebody davens or baksa. Somebody davens out in the field. It is a chutzpah. Big Machik is a shoinim. What's going on over here? It's a chutzpah if you say your sins and you declare them loudly. You cover your sins, not you. Because if you say it loud, it sounds like you're not even embarrassed, or you don't care, and then make a difference of it. So the Rashi says the reason is when you're in a field, there's not a mokum sneeze, it's open. When you daven in a room, you feel more modest, and you'll daven to
Eibishter. Before you enter the king in the field,
right? True, but that is a spiritual kind of way. Toys has a question. It says by Yitzchak, he went to daven in the field. He daven in the field. So what are you telling me? So let's get two answers. One answer is that field was Hara Maria. So it's not Stam field. But the second answer, Taysa gives, is very important. That's the Homachoikas, is because it's only a problem when a lot of people traversing by and they're distracting you and you daven there. That's a chutzpah. Mashenkin, if you're in a private place, there's nobody else around, there's nothing wrong with davening in a field. So the big machlek is in halacha, about davening in a field today and not davening in a field. How do we understand pshat and tesis that people are passing by? What does it have to do then with sneers like Rashi said and everything else? So the Taz learns that's exactly what it means. It's one and the same, that if there are a lot of people there, it's not sneers, but there's nobody there, you can daven in a field. Not the vort is open space. Taz says that what Tosis is telling you, sneers, does that mean an open space or a closed space? It means there's a lot of people who are doing other things there that are not joining you. What you're doing is, that's a problem, because that means it's not sneers. But if the people are there all davening with you, or there's nobody else really around, just whatever, so then there's no traffic, it's not a question of sneers. That's how the Taz learns. That's where you daven all these places. Others say that the halachas are like tesis, that you should never daven in an open place. And yet the Mogen Avraham who says that says clearly, but oivrei drachim, people are traveling, there's nothing wrong with davening in an open space. In fact, we had the Gilma and Aleph. Elio told Rabbi Yehi, why did you daven inside this churba? You should have daven outside on the street. You love daven on the street. Okay, Hadna Lachin Naimdin. We'll continue tomorrow. We're halfway through.